Strive to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Yes, you heard a sigh there. This is a tough morning. After having listened to the Salem Radio Network news on GCN, Salem Radio Network is a Christian radio network, and that absolutely misguided, completely ignorant response to 9/11. Yes, it's hard for me to take. But we're going to talk about that this morning. And rather than merely presenting the news, I'm going to try to explain why these things have happened and why they will continue to happen, because we seem incapable of learning any lessons from history. Well, then we're going to turn the page in the second hour. We're going to engage God on His terms. We're going to do the opposite of what America thinks it's doing, where it claims that God is blessing America and that we're one nation under God, going off and fighting a terrible foe. I'm going to tell you who God actually is, and that He has absolutely nothing to do with America. And there probably aren't more than 1,000 Americans who actually know Him. Our number, should you like to discuss any of these questions, criticize, affirm, or challenge anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. I have one other quick note before we begin. If you are unaware of the nature of Islam, if you are among the most and the many Americans who have been beguiled into believing that 9/11 was perpetrated by terrorists, as opposed to fundamentalist Muslims. If you think that 9/11 occurred because of extremists, as opposed to fundamentalist Muslims, then I encourage you to read Prophet of Doom. Prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, as in foretelling the future, of doom.net. It is the most comprehensive analysis ever written of the Islamic scriptures. It takes the Quran and puts it into chronological order and in the context of Muhammad's life using the Hadith. It is a comprehensive and impeccably documented presentation of who Muhammad was and what he and his wannabe God tried to achieve. Once you read it, you will understand that Islam is a declaration of war against all humankind. That the Quran and Hadith are terrorist manifestos. That rather than the terrorist corrupting their religion, it is their religion that corrupted them. And that so long as Islam exists, it will continue to be the enemy of all humankind, especially of Muslims. So if you're among the sheeple who believes what your country is telling you, then I encourage you to shed that ignorance, because ignorance is not bliss. It is deadly. And I encourage you to read prophetofdoom.net. If you are of the belief that Americans, by and large, do know God, and that America is a nation under God, and that God is somehow blessing America and our troops, then I encourage you to read introtogod.org so that you come to know Yahweh as He actually is. Now let's turn to the news. This is difficult for me because of the amount of energy, amount of my life, the sacrifices I've personally made to help America understand what happened on 9/11. On the morning of 9/11, I was in the air. I'm a pilot. I was flying America's best known religious cleric back from a speaking engagement. That was Jerry Falwell. I was a Christian at the time. I am not now. I was a patriot at the time. I am not now. I was a conservative Republican at the time. I am not now. That morning I watched in horror as those two planes flew into our buildings. And I knew George Bush. I had spent a full day with him prior to him being elected president in Austin, in the governor's mansion in Texas. And during that discussion with him, I was really extraordinarily disappointed by him. When I told him why he should be supported as president, I asked him, what is it that he thinks he is going to bring to the Oval Office that is worth America's confidence, and that what drives him? What are his motivations? What are his convictions? And as I peppered him with such questions, he had that silly smirk on his face, and the best he could do is talk about that he thinks he's good in crisis, and that he wanted a crisis to be able to prove that he was capable of managing it. It was a man that was inviting America to go to war so that he could look like a leader during time of crisis. And so I knew what he was going to do, and I was horrified by it. America so often has engaged in war based on lies, and it was going to happen again. I was certain of it. At the time, I was quite wealthy by most standards. It was during the dot-com bubble. I was the founder of a dot-com. And when you're in that position, you have all sorts of political contacts. And I used those political contacts to see if I could figure out why those hijackers flew planes into our buildings. And so I went to ground zero for fundamentalist Islam and terrorist organizations in the world at that time. That was Israel. Flew into the West Bank. I was met, actually flying to the West Bank, flew into Tel Aviv and then went into the West Bank. I was met at the airport by a Mossad agent. I went directly to the Knesset, which is the equivalent of the Israeli Capitol building. I met with members of the Prime Minister's staff and with other Knesset members. And ultimately, over a period of about 7 days, I was able to negotiate both with the Palestinian Authority, who I met with routinely, and with Knesset members to get the opportunity to meet directly with Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Oscar Martyrs Brigade. And I did. I had to sign a paper at the time that said, what you are doing, you will not survive, that the Israeli government will not even know where you're going. You're going to be picked up. You'll be taken to an undisclosed location. We can't do anything to rescue you. Unless you're on God's mission, you are a dead man, I was told. But I sensed that I needed to do this, that I had been asked to do this, and I did. And after having a gun put to the side of my head by my Muslim escort, being blindfolded, being taken through horrible situations, I was taken into what was basically a dungeon, a cell beneath a home, one light. And there, over the next 4 or 5 hours, I met with Alaska Martyrs Brigade, Fatah, all the way through to Al-Qaeda representatives, and asked them all the same thing. Why are you killing us? That meeting began with three men who were dressed in military fatigues that had been supplied by the United States. They carried M-16s, which had been supplied by the United States. They bragged about how they had been trained in Virginia by the United States military. They were giddy. They were very full of themselves. They also bragged about killing 12 Israeli citizens, women and children, the night before. They blew off the axles of a bus on the road to Emmanuel, and when the women and children fled the bus, they shot them at point-blank range, blowing off their heads. Well, my meeting with the terrorists, with the fundamentalist Muslims, is chronicled in a book called Tea with Terrorists. Because during the meeting, the title is based upon the fact that my translator during the meeting thought that since all the people I were interviewing were getting rather disgruntled by my line of questions and my unwillingness to do what journalists typically do, which is to write down whatever the opposition says as if it were true. Well, I questioned everything they said. And they didn't like that very much. Because every time I'd ask them a question as to why they're killing us, they would quote from their Quran and their Hadith, the oral reports from Muhammad and his companions. They said that their prophet ordered them to do so, that they are doing what is necessary for them to do in accord with their religion. And so my translator served tea, thinking that, you know, if they're holding a hot beverage in their trigger finger, they're less likely to blow my head off. He says that would be a bad thing. And so the book was titled Tea with Terrorists. In that book, I explained exactly who the terrorists were, that they were fundamentalist Muslims. They were good Muslims. They had not corrupted their religion. Their religion had corrupted them. I told America the three things America needed to do if it wanted to stop Islamic terrorism immediately. Now, what I was confronted with on 9/11 is the same thing that our politicians were confronted with, our military was confronted with, our media was confronted with, our religious leaders were confronted with, our academicians were confronted with, and yet none of them chose to do anything about it. I did. And what was that? Every one of those Islamic terrorists that I met with, from Fatah, Oscar Martyrs Brigade, Hezbollah, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda, quoted vociferously the Quran and Hadith to justify killing. And so, at that point, either they were misquoting the Quran and Hadith, either they were taking the statements in the Quran and Hadith out of context and twisting them, either they were cherry-picking a handful of violent verses from the Quran and Hadith and ignoring the peaceful ones, an ocean of peaceful ones, or Islam was responsible for 9/11. Those were the only choices. Those are the only choices. It's as simple as that. Well, I invested 10,000 hours investigating what those scriptures say, what the oldest Islamic sources reveal. And I wrote a 1,000-page book, the most comprehensive ever compiled on the five earliest Islamic sources, so that you too would know the truth. And we'll speak of that when we come back. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Jim Newcomer.
Hello, welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Should you wish to challenge anything I have to say, you're invited to do so by calling 877-300-7645. I've shared with you that there was a simple response to what happened on 9/11 to understand it, that every academician, every media spokesperson, every politician, every military officer, and genuinely every citizen of this country ought to have done. Everyone. In fact, the fact that maybe five people in America did what I did speaks very negatively about this country. When those 19 Muslims, and we found out they were 19 Muslims, and immediately we found out that they were screaming Allahu Akbar, which is the Islamic prayer of fear, which was created at Kabar, where Muhammad went down with his armed goons, the first Muslims, to terrorize a civilian community of Jews for the purpose of robbing them, enslaving their children, raping their women, stealing their property. And he screamed Allahu Akbar for the first time, which means that my God, Allah, is greater than your God, Yahweh. That when they screamed that into the recorders of those airplanes, they were confessing to the crime. They were Muslims following Allah's orders. And so what every one of us should have done at that point is to read the Quran and the Hadith. The Hadith and Quran are essentially the same thing. Now, Muslims will have a conniption fit when you say that. They'll say the Quran is directly from their God and the Hadith is sayings from Muhammad that are passed on orally from Muhammad to us through a chain of transmitters. Yeah, they're exactly the same. And the reason they're exactly the same is that the Quran was spoken only by Muhammad, and it was retained for generations orally from mouth to ear, just as the Hadith came from Muhammad's lips and was passed on mouth to ear for generations. Same source, same method of transmission. They are the same. And so, when you take the Hadith, which you have to have, Islam cannot even be practiced as a religion without the Hadith. Islam, Allah is unknowable, Muhammad is unknowable without the Hadith. There is none of the five pillars in Islam can be adhered to without the Hadith. And so when you take the Hadith and you use it to arrange the jumbled mess that is the Quran in chronological order, and you set the book into the context of Muhammad's life so that you understand why he said such things, it became apparent, it becomes apparent, that all Islam is a declaration of war on all humankind, that Allah is Satan, and that he wants men killed. He wants to lord over them and to mislead them, to beguile them. It is a terrorist manifesto. Muhammad himself, in the first 10 years of the Islamic era, led 75 terrorist raids. He was a kidnapper. He was a thief. He was an avowed liar. He was incestuous. He was a pedophile. He was a rapist. He was a bloodthirsty and ruthless mass murderer. And so when you take the Islamic sources, the five oldest sources regarding Muhammad, the Islamic scriptures, and you put them in context with one another, in chronological order, as I have done in Prophet of Doom, what you prove is what every American should have done, is taken the time to verify whether or not those terrorists who flew planes into our buildings had corrupted their religion, or was it their religion that had corrupted them? Well, the answer, my friends, is unequivocal. It is undeniable. It is irrefutable. Islam corrupts everything it touches. Islam is responsible for 9/11. Not an extremist version of Islam, fundamentalist Islam. All good Muslims are terrorists. That's what the Quran says. If you are a peaceful Muslim, or if you know a peaceful Muslim, according to Allah, they are a hypocrite. They cease to be a Muslim, and Allah tells good jihadist Muslims to kill them so he can torture them in the hottest places in hell. That is the truth. It is irrefutable. And yet there isn't a single politician in this country, not one religious leader in this country, not one leading academician in this country, not one media spokesperson in this country that bothered to check whether or not the terrorists had taken their scriptures out of context, whether they had misquoted them, whether they had cherry-picked the worst of them to justify what they had done, or whether that was the essence of their religion. And my friends, it is the essence of their religion, which means that we have no idea, America has no idea, what happened on 9/11. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths, 877-300-7645. I am your host, Yada. Some may wonder, you know, why do I use the pseudonym Yada as opposed to my actual name in this show? Well, one of the reasons is that as a result of writing Prophet of Doom, which is the most comprehensive, the best documented, the best, most chronological presentation of the five earliest Islamic sources, and demonstrating that all is Satan, that Muhammad was amongst the most repulsive men who ever lived, and that Islam is a terrorist manifesto, a declaration of war against all humankind, and proving that overwhelmingly and conclusively. I have received a lot of death threats, thousands of them. At one time, I had $100 million price tag on my head. That is the sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, that I have made to try to inform my country as to what happened on 9/11, so that you'd understand it, so that we wouldn't continue to elect politicians. We wouldn't continue to listen to media spokespeople that lie to us. You see, when I listen to reports about commemorating 9/11, and I hear things like people say that it is our military who continue to keep us safe, and I say, no, how could you say that when the opposite is true? Our military has made us more vulnerable relative to what happened on 9/11. They invaded Iraq, led to the deaths of 900,000 people, and sacrificing the lives of nearly 7,000 Americans and coming back sacrificing the bodies of another 70,000 mutilated, squandering some $4 trillion. We gave Iraq, which was principally a secular country, the enemy of Iran, to Iran, which enabled Iran to complete its nuclear ambitions, will allow it to complete its nuclear ambitions. It caused Iran to be the primary power influence in the Middle East, which is why we're seeing the war right now in Syria. And as a direct result of that, America has become infinitely more vulnerable and less safe because of what we have done on behalf of Iran by invading Iraq. By invading Afghanistan, America pushed the fundamentalist Muslims in Afghanistan into Pakistan, which is a nation with nuclear weapons. And we continue to supply more and more weapons to Pakistan. It's a nation that is in predictable political and religious turmoil as a direct result of what we did. And soon the most fundamentalist of Muslims will have control of nuclear weapons in that country, and they will also deploy them in the United States. Our military didn't make us safer. They made us more vulnerable. There is always this comment that we rally God to our side because we were victimized by 9/11. And we assume that God is blessing America, that we are one nation under God. Those were the slogans that were spouted by SRN News. God has never blessed America. Although He is on the cusp of watching America destroy itself. There are predictions of America in Scripture. We'll get to them eventually in this program. They appear in Yeshayahu 17 and 18, where God uses some 12 or 13 different adjectives to adroitly describe this nation. And it says that because we looted Israel, thinning the nation at the waist, which means that we are the nation that forced Israel to give up Gaza and the West Bank, one past, one future act, that by looting Israel in this way, we will have invited the wrath of the terrorists. Yes, by appeasing Islam, we will engender their wrath. It's just like what happened at the prelude to World War II. Well, Neville Chamberlain appeased Nazism and endured the wrath of Nazism as a result by giving them the high ground of Czechoslovakia. Well, exactly the same thing is what we're told is going to happen, and America's largest cities are going to be destroyed as a result by Muslims. We are not one nation under God. We may be one nation, but God has nothing to do with the direction of this country. I would be surprised if there's 1,000 Americans that even know who He is. There was the parting line of the 9/11 summary that said, "We went to war because the victims of 9/11 were sacrificed by extremists." We went to war against a tactic. That's like saying in World War II that if we could only eliminate the Blitzkriegers, the world would be safe. If we could only eliminate the kamikazes, oh, the world would be safe. We're going to war against Blitzkriegers and kamikazes. Those are tactics. Terrorism is a tactic. In fact, in World War II, the most terrorist nation was the United States. We firebombed German cities and firebombed Japanese cities. It's an act of terrorism. You can't fight a war against a tactic. You have to come to know who is the enemy that's motivating the deployment of the tactic. In this case, it's Islam, and yet our nation says we are not at war with Islam. We didn't go to war. We went and lashed out at symptoms, not having any clue as to what was behind them. And those who died on 9/11 were not killed by extremists. They were killed by fundamentalists. They're the opposite things. The 9/11 Islamic suicide bombers did not take an extreme view of Islam. They went right to its roots, to its heart, to its core. The most fundamentalist application of the religion. They were the best Muslims, not the worst of them. There is so much we could have learned from 9/11. There's so much we could have done that would have made a difference. And yet we did not do those things. Anytime you're opposing a religion, whether that religion be Islam or Christianity or that religion be socialist secular humanism like we fought in Vietnam, anytime you are going and fighting against a religion, whether you declare that this war is against the religion of socialist, secular, humanism, communism in Vietnam, or Islam in Iraq and Afghanistan, when you choose as your weapon bullets and bombs, you will always manufacture 100 more enemy than you kill. Every time we dropped napalm on Vietnam, we manufactured 100 foe for every one that we killed. Every time we carpet bombed that country, the same thing occurred. Every time we dropped cluster bombs on Afghanistan and in Iraq, we manufactured 100 enemy for every one that we killed. Bullets and bombs is not the way that you fight a religious enemy. Learn the truth. Expose it. Openly expose and condemn the underlying scriptures and motivational texts of your enemy. When you demonstrate that what they believe is false, when you prove that what they are doing is wrong, it becomes harder and harder for them to find victims willing to sacrifice their lives in the pursuit of a lie. You can only fight against a religious foe wielding one weapon effectively. That's the truth. Evidence and reason are the most deadly things that can possibly be wielded against a religion. Let me know. Show you a way I can prove that. During the time that I had a $100 million fatwa on my head, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, and the head of the military at the time, fatwa was one-tenth of mine. They were wielding bullets and bombs. They were aiding and abetting the enemy. They were doing everything that Muslims would want them, fundamentalist Muslims would want them to do to justify their jihad. I was attacking them with words, saying, I don't want anyone killed. That is not the solution. Becoming as bad as they are isn't the solution. You don't fight fire with fire. We talked about that economically yesterday, burning down one side of the house, torching it because the other side's on fire. That's not the way you prevail. I'll give you a great example of how reason and evidence can prevail against a religion. The Ku Klux Klan was a politicized religion in America. At its height, 1 out of 10 American males was a member. But then in the early 1920s, some journalists who still had conviction and character back in those days got copies of the internal documents, the scriptures, if you will, of the Ku Klux Klan. They published them. And when people could read how disgusting, how revolting the internal documentation was of the Klan, it became impossible for the Klan to retain their existing members and to recruit new members. And in the course of less than 5 years, the Klan lost 95% of its members. It was destroyed by evidence and reason. The same thing is true with Islam. I invested 3,000 hours doing talk radio programs across this country to direct listeners' attention to Prophet of Doom so that they could come to know the internal documents of Islam and to come to understand how repulsive it is. So they would understand that the most merciful thing we could do, the most compassionate thing we could do, the most courageous thing we could do would be to come to understand this religion and how repulsive and how violent it is, and to speak out against it, to expose and condemn it. And if we did that, there is nothing that would be more merciful, more compassionate, more effective. And yet what do? We promote lies. We tell Americans that our military is keeping us safe. We tell Americans that God is blessing America. We tell Americans that we're one nation under God. We tell Americans that we went to war because lives were sacrificed by extremists. All in the face of an unknown truth, an unwillingness to learn the lessons of the past. My friends, ignorance is not bliss. It's deadly. And, you know, it is unfair for me to criticize, and if I came across this way, I apologize, individuals. You know, individuals investing the time to learn the truth so that we collectively don't elect leaders like George W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama that keep us lashing out at these symptoms and continuing to lie to us. My animosity in this regard is to the people who had an obligation to search for the truth. The media leaders, spokespeople, politicians, military officers, academicians, and religious clerics. They are without excuse. And they are the subject of my scorn. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Hello and welcome back to the final segment of the news hour of this presentation of Shattering Myths. The thing that I would like to communicate to our listeners today is that Prophet of Doom, which is the most comprehensive presentation, the most chronological presentation, the most contextual presentation, the best documented presentation of the five earliest Islamic sources. They are the Quran, Sirah, which is the biography of Muhammad, written and compiled by Ishaq, based upon Hadith. Tabari's Tariq, which is the history of Islam's formation, also compiled using the same hadith and blending it with the Quran. And then two topical hadith collections, one by Bukhari, the other by Muslim. Those are the only five Islamic sources compiled within 250 years of Muhammad's life and death. That's it. No more. Those are the five. And what I did is I took those five and I put them, because there's lots of overlap, I took all of the information in them, put it into chronological order, and used it to reorder the Quran chronologically so that you would understand the circumstances under which each of the sirahs were revealed. The book is irrefutable. Absolutely and completely irrefutable. No Muslim has, and there's thousands that have tried, has been able to find a single material error in the book. And if you were to find one, well, the book, since it uses exclusively Muhammad's own words and deeds to expose and condemn Islam, you have only two choices. One is you can refute everything that's in it, because any one of the statements, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of citations in it. Any one of those citations is sufficient in and of itself to expose and condemn Islam, to prove that it is merciless, violent, repulsive. And thus far, Tens of thousands of Muslims have tried. Not a single error has been found. And you'd have to refute all of them. But this is the big challenge. Since the book is based entirely on Muhammad's own words and deeds, the only way that you could refute the book is to refute Muhammad. And if you refute Muhammad, what do you have left? If you're a Muslim, since he was your lone source to Allah, your lone example, the founder, the exemplar of your religion. Can't be refuted. It is similar to the book that I wrote on Paul. The only way that you can refute the book written on Paul, which proves that Paul was a false prophet, very much like Muhammad in many ways, is to expose and condemn Paul, is to refute Paul, to say, well, okay, well, Paul may have said these things, but therefore, what are you going to do as a Christian? He's the founder of your religion. So you're going to say, okay, well, Paul said these things, so what? They're wrong. That's exactly what we have with Islam. The only way that Prophet of Doom can be refuted is to refute Muhammad, and once you refute Muhammad, you have no Islam. Yes, Scott.
I was going to say that you've done the same thing with all your books.
Yes.
You've just taken the words that are there.
Yes.
And you've translated them.
Yes.
Whether it's Yada Yada, questioning Paul, or Prophet of Doom, all you've done is taken the words that are there, translated them into English with,
yep,
you know, other, you know, Hebrew and everything else being there, so that way it's,
mm-hmm,
you know,
in, you can verify it
in the language that people want, you know,
right,
want it to be in.
Right.
And honestly, if the truth is there, it's going to be there because it was written at first.
Correct. Correct. What you're basically saying is the same thing I've said for so many years. I'm irrelevant to what I'm sharing with you. We as a people have been conditioned to trying to slander the messenger when we don't like the message. But in the case of Prophet of Doom, in the case of Questioning Paul, in the case of Yada Yada, in the case of Intro to God.org, in the case of all those books, I'm irrelevant. All I'm doing is presenting what was written, what was said. And so you then are empowered to become aware of what was written and said and form your own conclusions. Now, the Intro to God, for example, is called an introduction to God because it introduces you to what he revealed about himself, what he is offering us, and how we can get to know him. That's why it's called an Intro to God. Prophet of Doom is called, right on the cover, Islam's Terrorist Dogma and Muhammad's Own Words. And that really is the essence of knowing and understanding. It's about observing the evidence and then considering it so that you can form intelligent and rational conclusions. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment.
If you suffer seasonal or environmental allergies and your doctor has told you that the only answer is medications for the rest of your life, Dr. Peter Glidden has...